Chapter 4, The Writing and Sending Out of the Testimonies to the Church.
The material comprising this chapter appeared in a leaflet in 1913. A Review of the Work. Sanitarium, California, July 8, 1906. Dear Brother, there are some who think they are able to measure the character and to estimate the importance of the work the Lord has given me to do. Their own mind and judgment is the standard by which they would weigh the testimonies. My instructor said to me, "Tell these men that God has not committed to them the work of measuring, classifying, and defining the character of the testimonies. Those who attempt this are sure to err in their conclusions. The Lord would have men adhere to their appointed work. If they will keep the way of the Lord, they will be able to discern clearly that the work which He has appointed me to do is not a work of human devising. Those who carefully read the testimonies as they have appeared from the early days need not be perplexed as to their origin. The many books written by the help of the Spirit of God bear a living witness to the character of the testimonies. In the early days of our experience in the message, the Spirit of God often came upon a few of us as we were assembled, and I was taken away in vision. The Lord gave such light and evidence, such comfort and hope and joy, that His praises were upon our lips. Assisted by literary helpers. While my husband lived, he acted as a helper and counselor in the sending out of the messages that were given to me. We traveled extensively. Sometimes light would be given to me in the night season, sometimes in the daytime before large congregations. The instruction I received in vision was faithfully written out by me, as I had time and strength for the work. Afterward, we examined the matter together, my husband correcting grammatical errors and eliminating needless repetition. Then it was carefully copied for the persons addressed, or for the printer. As the work grew, others assisted me in the preparation of matter for publication. After my husband's death, faithful helpers joined me, who labored untiringly in the work of copying the testimonies and preparing articles for publication. But the reports that are circulated that any of my helpers are permitted to add matter or change the meaning of the messages I write out are not true. While we were in Australia, the Lord instructed me that W.C. White should be relieved from the many burdens his brother would lay upon him, that he might be more free to assist me in the work the Lord has laid upon me. The promise had been given, "I will put my spirit upon him and give him wisdom." Since my return to America, I have several times received instruction that the Lord has given me W.C. White to be my helper, and that in this work, the Lord will give him of His Spirit. Proper time and manner of presentation. It requires much wisdom and sound judgment, quickened by the Spirit of God, to know the proper time and manner to present the instruction that has been given. When the minds of persons reproved are under a strong deception, they naturally resist the testimony, and having taken an attitude of resistance, it is difficult for them afterward to acknowledge that they have been wrong. In the early days of this cause, if some of the leading brethren were present when messages from the Lord were given, we would consult with them as to the best manner of bringing the instruction before the people. Sometimes it was decided that certain portions would better not be read before a congregation. Sometimes those whose course was reproved would request that the matters pointing out their wrongs and dangers should be read before others that they too might be benefited. Often, after testimonies of reproof were read, hearty confessions were made. Then we would unite in a season of prayer, and the Lord would manifest His pardoning grace to those who had confessed their sins. The acceptance of the testimonies brought the rich blessing of God into our assemblies. Faithfully, I endeavor to write out that which is given me from time to time by the Divine Counselor. Some portions of that which I write are sent out immediately to meet the present necessities of the work. Other portions are held until the development of circumstances makes it evident to me that the time has come for their use. Sometimes, in ministers and physicians bearing responsibilities, there has developed a disposition to discard the testimonies, and I have been instructed not to place testimonies in their hands. For, having yielded to the spirit that tempted and overcome Adam and Eve, they have opened mind and heart to the control of the enemy. Being on a false track and laboring under deceptive imaginings, they will read into the testimonies things that are not there, but which are in agreement with the false statements that they have listened to. By reading the testimonies in the light of their own kindling, they are deceived and will deceive others. Sometimes, after very clear-cut, decided reproofs have been written out, they are held for a time until by personal correspondence I have endeavored to change the spirit of those to whom they are addressed. If these efforts are unsuccessful, the messages, with all their strength of rebuke or reproof, are sent to them, whether they will hear or whether they will deny the truthfulness of the message. If those whose errors are pointed out make confession of their wrongdoing, the spell of the enemy may be broken. If they will repent and forsake their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer, will remove the filthy garments from them, give them change of raiment, and set a fair mitre upon their head. But so long as they refuse to turn from iniquity, they cannot develop a character that will stand in the great day of judgment. Often, concealed wrongs in the life of individuals are opened before me, and I am bidden to bear a message of reproof and warning. I have been told that many who give heed to the false science of the enemy would denounce my work as that of a false prophet, and would place upon the testimony such interpretations as tend to change the truth of God into a lie. Satan is on the alert, and some who in the past have been used by the Lord in doing His work, but who have permitted themselves to be deceived, will be stirred up to make an improper use of the messages given. Because they do not wish to listen to the words of reproof, because they will not hear counsel and improve their course of action, and do their appointed work, they will misconstrue the messages to the church and confuse many minds. Nevertheless, I am to bear the message that is given me to bear so long as the Lord shall choose. He has not given me the work of settling all the misunderstandings that are cherished in hearts of unbelief, just as long as a door is open to receive the tempter's suggestions, difficulties will multiply. The hearts of those who will not come to the light are open to unbelief. If my time and strength are consumed upon such matters, this serves Satan's purposes. The Lord has said to me, "Bear the testimonies. Your work is not to settle difficulties. Your work is to reprove and to present the righteousness of Christ." An incident. At one time in the early days of the message, Father Butler and Elder Hart became confused in regard to the testimonies. In great distress, they groaned and wept, but for some time they would not give the reasons for their perplexity. However, being pressed to give a reason for their faithless speech and manner, Elder Hart referred to a small pamphlet that had been published as The Visions of Sister White, and said that to his certain knowledge, some visions were not included. Before a large audience, These brethren both talked strongly about their losing confidence in the work. My husband handed the little pamphlet to Elder Hart and requested him to read what was printed on the title page. A sketch of the Christian experiences and views of Mrs. E.G. White, he read. For a moment there was silence, and then my husband explained that we had been very short of means and were able to print at first only a small pamphlet, and he promised the brethren that when sufficient means were raised, the visions should be published more fully in book form. Elder Butler was deeply moved, and after the explanation had been made, he said, "Let us bow before God." Prayers, weeping, and confessions followed, such as we have seldom heard. Father Butler said, "Brother White, forgive me. I was afraid you were concealing from us some of the light we ought to have. Forgive me, Sister White." Then the power of God came into the meeting in a wonderful manner. Taken from the writing and sending out of the testimonies to the church, pages 3-9. To the workers and the helpers, Sanitarium, California, October 23, 1907. Dear Brother Wilcox, this was F. M. Wilcox. I received and read your recent letter regarding the sister who thinks that she has been chosen to fill the position that Sister White has occupied. I have this to say. She may be honest, but she is certainly deceived. About a year after the death of my husband, I was very feeble, and it was feared that I might not live but a short time. At the Healdsburg camp meeting, I was taken into the tent where there was a large gathering of our people. I asked to be raised up from the lounge on which I was lying and assisted to the speaker's platform that I might say a few words of farewell to the people. As I tried to speak, the power of God came upon me and thrilled me through and through. Many in the congregation observed that I was weak and that my face and hands seemed bloodless. But as I began speaking, they saw the color coming into my lips and face and knew that a miracle was being wrought in my behalf. I stood before the people healed and spoke with freedom. After this experience, light was given me that the Lord had raised me up to bear testimony for Him in many countries and that He would give me grace and strength for the work. It was also shown me that my son, W.C. White, should be my helper and counselor, and that the Lord would place on him the spirit of wisdom and of a sound mind. I was shown that the Lord would guide him, and that he would not be led away, because he would recognize the leadings and guidings of the Holy Spirit. The assurance was given me, "You are not alone in the work the Lord has chosen you to do. You will be taught of God how to bring the truth in its simplicity before the people. The God of truth will sustain you, and convincing proof will be given that He is leading you. God will give you of His Holy Spirit, and His grace and wisdom and keeping power will be with you. The Lord will be your instructor. You will meet with deceptive influences. They will come in many forms, in pantheism and other forms of infidelity, but follow where I shall guide you, and you will be safe. I will put my spirit upon your son and will strengthen him to do his work. He has the grace of humility. The Lord has selected him to act an important part in his work. For this purpose was he born." This word was given me in 1882. And since that time, I have been assured that the grace of wisdom was given to him. More recently, in a time of perplexity, the Lord said, "I have given you my servant, W.C. White, and I will give him judgment to be your helper. I will give him skill and understanding to manage wisely." The Lord has given me other faithful helpers in my work, Many of my discourses have been reported and have been put before the people in printed form. Through nearly the whole of my long experience, I have endeavored day by day to write out that which was revealed to me in visions of the night. Many messages of counsel and reproof and encouragement have been sent out to individuals, and much of the instruction that I have received for the church has been published in periodicals and books and circulated in many lands. The work is constantly moving forward. We are making earnest efforts to place my writings before the people. We hope that several new books will go to press shortly. If I am incapacitated for labor, my faithful workers are prepared to carry forward the work. My writings will constantly speak. Abundant light has been given to our people in these last days. Whether or not my life is spared, my writings will constantly speak. And their work will go forward as long as time shall last. My writings are kept on file in the office, and even though I should not live, these words that have been given to me by the Lord will still have life and will speak to the people. But my strength is yet spared, and I hope to continue to do much useful work. I may live until the coming of the Lord, but if I should not, I trust it may be said of me, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14:13. I thank God for the assurance of His love and that I have daily His leading and guidance. I am very busy with my writing. Early and late, I am writing out the matters that the Lord opens before me. The burden of my work is to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord. The promise of Christ is sure. The time is not long. We must work and watch and wait for the Lord Jesus. We are called upon to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. All our hopes have their foundation in Christ. Are our people reviewing the past and the present and the future as it is unfolding before the world? Are they heeding the messages of warning given them? Is it our greatest concern today that our lives shall be refined and purified, and that we shall reflect the similitude of the divine? This must be the experience of all who join that company who are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. They must be arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. His name must be written in their foreheads. They must rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Christ has engraved the names of His people on the palms of His hands. He will never lose His interest in any dependent soul. Say to the church members that there is need of thorough consecration to God. Let all understand that they must have a covenant with God by sacrifice. We need the blessings of the gospel every day and every hour. Every proof of the Lord's power, His presence, and His love is to be recognized with grateful thanks. Happiness is to be achieved by the right action of the soul toward God. I thank the Lord for this precious thought. Let Him be glorified by the sentiments expressed and by the actions performed. Never have testimonies been more clearly brought before the people than those that have recently been traced by my pen. God bids me urge upon the attention of our people the importance of their study. Let this work begin now. Then, whether I am permitted to labor or am laid to rest until Jesus comes, these messages are immortalized. To my brethren, I now say, speak words that will draw souls to Christ. bring forth fruit in good works. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:36. Every conceivable thing will be brought in to deceive, if possible, the very elect. But the Lord will certainly take care of His work. From the Writing and Sending Out of the Testimonies to the Church, pages 10 through 16. The Use of the Testimonies. Time and place to be considered. Regarding the testimonies, nothing is ignored, nothing is cast aside, but time and place must be considered. Nothing must be done untimely. Some matters must be withheld because some persons would make an improper use of the light given. Every jot and tittle is essential and must appear at an opportune time. In the past, the testimonies were carefully prepared before they were sent out for publication, and all matter is still carefully studied after the first writing. Tell them to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. Place His word before them. There will be those who will misinterpret and misrepresent. Their eyes have been blinded, and they set forth the figures and interpretations that Satan has worked out for them, and an entirely wrong meaning will be placed upon the words that Sister White has spoken. Satan is just as verily claiming to be Christ's child as did Judas, who was on the accusing side. They have educated themselves in Satan's school of misstating. A description of them is given in the third chapter of Zechariah. Nothing in the world is so dear to God as His church. Satan has worked upon human minds and will continue to betray sacred trust in a spurious way. The publishing of compilations. I can see plainly that should everyone who thinks he is qualified to write books follow his imagination and have his productions published, insisting that they be recommended by our publishing houses, there would be plenty of tares sown broadcast in our world. Many from among our own people are writing to me, asking with earnest determination the privilege of using my writings to give force to certain subjects which they wish to present to the people in such a way as to leave a deep impression upon them. It is true that there is a reason why some of these matters should be presented, but I would not venture to give my approval in using the testimonies in this way, or to sanction the placing of matter which is good in itself in the way which they propose. The persons who make these propositions, for aught I know, may be able to conduct the enterprise of which they write in a wise manner, but nevertheless, I dare not give the least license for using my writings in the manner which they propose. In taking account of such an enterprise, there are many things that must come into consideration, for in using the testimonies to bolster up some subject which may impress the mind of the author, the extracts may give a different impression than that which they would were they read in their original connection. From the Writing and Sending Out of the Testimonies to the Church, pages 25 and 26.